Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. What you're about to listen to is a recording that I did with somebody a short while after the anniversary of the Jewish assassination of George Lincoln Rockwell, the founder of the American Nazi Party. You're going to hear a guy called Robert, whom I know from 2019 and from the time of the Fash Bash, and he's a young American who is a firm supporter of George Lincoln Rockwell, and he's a very loyal guy, and it was really good to be able to chat to him. The only reason this has taken so long is it's all my fault, and it's my own chaos and my own things that have caused me to take so long to get this out. I have a strict rule that I've set for myself that whenever I mention the name George Lincoln Rockwell or Hendrik Verwoerd of South Africa, Prime Minister Hendrik Verwoerd, that I will remind people that both of these white men were killed by Jews. You won't read this on the internet. It's not sitting in most books. I say most books because there are specific books that do mention some of these things. In the case of Hendrik Verwoerd, there are a few people in South Africa who wrote it in actual books, and the Jews did their utmost to get rid of it. But George Lincoln Rockwell, they like to blame other people in the American Nazi Party for killing him. It's all a lie. It's total nonsense. In 2019, when I was in America, I actually stayed for quite a while with Captain Bernie Davids. Captain Bernie Davids was in his 80s, and in his youth, he had been in George Lincoln Rockwell's American Nazi Party. And you can even go and find him in various photos from the original American Nazi Party. Now, Captain Bernie Davids told me on multiple occasions about the killing of George Lincoln Rockwell. He told me that he was present at the trial and that the evidence presented at the trial showed something completely different, and that there were two sets of footprints from the sniper who had shot Rockwell from the roof. And he explained to me also that in that year, the Jews had stated, I think that they were going to kill something like 8 racists or something like that in that year. They were going to kill whites in America, and they were looking for 8 racists that they were going to kill. He said Rockwell was the only one who died. There was another guy who was shot, but the guy was paralyzed for life. And I also spoke to a guy called Frank, who was in his 90s, a Christian, who was a good friend of George Lincoln Rockwell. And I've done a show with Frank where he discusses this. And the bottom line is, Frank also says the whole story around the killing of Rockwell and that it was done by a guy in the American Nazi Party, it's all a lie. It's all junk. And the guy that they blame is a Greek guy called Patler. And Patler was actually one of their best people, one of their hardest workers. And it's all nonsense. It's total garbage. So, I have personally spoken to 2 people who were around at the time and who came in their old age and were able to tell me and give me their insights into what actually transpired. So, it's all bunk that some Nazi was disaffected and he went and shot Rockwell. That's all garbage. Jews killed George Lincoln Rockwell. And there were 2 killers, and it was the second attempt to kill him. They tried to kill him sometime before. but he was not allowed to own a firearm in self-defense. So in the 1960s, when guys like George Lincoln Rockwell in America and Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd in South Africa were trying to save white people, well, Jews saw to it that they were killed. And these two men had two assassination attempts on their lives. And I've done a video about the evidence for the assassination of Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd. So anybody who says that Jews don't do anything and Jews are innocent, no. Jews have killed many whites who have tried to stand up for whites. And if you want to see even more people who got killed, go and study German history in the 1920s, 1930s. Then you'll see how many people were killed by Jews. So when the white man tries to stand up for himself, when the white man tries to just get information out, Jews see to it that this stuff comes to an end quickly. What this show is about is that George Lincoln Rockwell, at a point, was saying that whites, or the American Nazi Party, need a thing called a balanced political army. And it is this concept of a political army that is really what we're trying to discuss in this show. Here in Africa, where the blacks were taught communism by the Jews and the Soviets, they also taught the blacks about political warfare and deeper things about politics. And they radicalized the blacks and also made the blacks want to kill the whites. So in this world, if you are serious about doing anything with democracy, you're up against people who know how to play the game. And somebody once said that there are only two groups in this world who know how politics actually works. The one group is Jews, and the other group is Nazis. And I think that's a pretty good explanation. That is very, very accurate. So that is why conservatives are always flopping and failing. They just don't have the sophistication and the determination to get anything done. But Adolf Hitler and Dr. Goebbels, Adolf Hitler and Dr. Goebbels were brilliant geniuses who figured out how to fight political warfare. And later, when George Lincoln Rockwell changed from being a soft conservative and a John Bircher to being a Nazi, he realized the brilliance of the Germans. And he realized that you need to educate people properly, and that when you educate whites properly, everything works. So George Lincoln Rockwell produced all kinds of stuff. He produced all kinds of information and booklets and pamphlets and courses on how to actually fight political warfare. Even the CIA has used the term political warfare, and the CIA might even have invented it. I think the CIA actually invented the term political warfare. So what it's come down to is that politics is not just about going to the ballot box. It doesn't work that way. There is more to it. You have to teach people stuff. They have to know what they are doing and why they are doing it. They have to understand that democracy is not just about voting. Don't just go and vote for Jew candidate A and Jew candidate B. You know, that's basically what liberalism and conservatism has boiled down to. Jew-approved candidate A or Jew-approved candidate B, or, you know, communists, Jew-approved candidate C. So all these other things, libertarianism, communism, all these others, these are just fronts that have been approved by Jews. Another one is civic nationalism. If you hear civic nationalism, That's just yet another Jew approved, Jew changed, Jew modified line of thinking. It will lead you nowhere. It's like libertarianism, etc. Liberalism is slightly different. Liberalism, I have concluded from my studies, liberalism actually is a precursor to civil war and communism. That's a clever Jewish trick. It's lying there in wait for you. If you become a liberal, you're already starting to put a rope around your own neck. You're already starting to actually destroy yourself. Liberalism is for total idiots. Libertarianism, conservatism, etc., all these others, you can use them, but you'll never get anywhere. You'll never win. You'll never go anywhere, etc. And what George Lincoln Rockwell realized was when he was a conservative and he was fighting communism, at a point George Lincoln Rockwell realized that there are only two groups in the world that ever beat communists, and they were Nazis and fascists. And if you look these days, you'll see that whenever Jews and their associated scum, like liberals, whenever Jews and liberals and commies hear the word Nazi or fascist, then they go crazy. Their hair stands on end. They start screaming a lot, start whining and crying and saying, "This is evil, this is evil," because they know that fascists and Nazis will kick their asses, beat them, and beat them thoroughly. They'll be beaten in every way. They will lose. So they know that fascism, Nazism, and any form of racism will result in a white victory. And so they go absolutely berserk whenever they hear anything like that. But of the two, Nazism is the best by far. It is a far superior system. But fascism is not a bad thing either. Fascism and Nazism, those are the paths to white freedom. And George Lincoln Rockwell understood everything exactly. He didn't have much money, he didn't have much support, but that man had a lot of guts, a lot of determination. He was as brave as hell. He was an absolutely amazing American man. And one day, we should be building lots of statues to George Lincoln Rockwell everywhere across a whiter, brighter Western world. And of course, whiter and brighter, I'm quoting my favorite church, the Church of Creativity, Ben Carson. But George Lincoln Rockwell, I have tremendous admiration for him. Absolute raw courage, raw determination. And a wonderful thing about the story of George Lincoln Rockwell is not only was he a military man who understood, he was a pilot and he understood warfare. He fought in World War II, he fought in the Korean War. And that gave George Lincoln Rockwell lots of deeper insights into politics. So that is a wonderful thing about him. But what I find amazing about the story of George Lincoln Rockwell is that at a point, George Lincoln Rockwell discovered himself. He found himself. And once he understood what he is and who he is, what his role in life is, how life is lived, etc., George Lincoln Rockwell was not afraid of anything. He faced certain death. And when his father, I think it was his father who heard about his death, and his father said he'd been expecting that for quite some time, that eventually he would be killed. George Lincoln Rockwell is a modern hero, a great hero, and a model for all men. And I must tell you, if all white men were like George Lincoln Rockwell, if all American men were like the American George Lincoln Rockwell, America would be absolutely white and clean in a very, very short space of time. White Americans would be in total control of every square inch of America in no time at all. And lots of whites in lots of countries can learn from George Lincoln Rockwell. He was a man who found himself, and once he found himself and he understood himself, he understood history, he understood politics, he understood life. Once he understood that, he was happy and he was aggressive and determined. And I think that is the final thing of George Lincoln Rockwell that stands out above all other Americans. His absolute determination to do things for his people, no matter whether it meant dying. And he had quotes where he spoke about the secret to life is to, you know, do your thing without a fear of death. That is the great thing about life. And in that sense, Rockwell was like our ancestors, like the Romans, the Greeks, the Germans, the Gauls. He wasn't afraid. He knew his thing and he knew what he could do. And he went and he did it to the utmost of his ability. And if only every white man out there could be like George Lincoln Rockwell. And Hitler was the same thing. Hitler was the same thing. Hitler risked his life endlessly for his people. And if white men start thinking like that, I'm telling you, we will quickly, quickly take total control of our civilization, our countries, and we're going to have an awesome time. So, here's the discussion with Robert. Hi there, Robert. How are you doing?
Good, Jan. Me and Jan, we're going to be discussing about the topic of George Lincoln Rockwell. As you may know, that last week it was the 55th anniversary of his murder. And this man, what he did in the past 60 years when he was out active fighting against the Jewish conspiracy here in the United States and across the world, he was out there in the front lines fighting for our people. He was the only vanguard of white America and the white race at the time. No other organization at the time was founded until earlier on in the 60s when people started getting wind of what Rockwell was doing. And it gave inspiration to other National Socialist organizations across the world, especially with Colin Jordan's and John Tyndall's National Socialist movement in Britain, the National Socialist movement in Chile, Argentina, even in places such as South Africa and Ireland and such, and in Germany where you had Lucke, yeah, that was the NS leader at the time in Germany. But anyway, when he got them all together at the World Union, the National Socialist Conference in Great Britain back in 62, he created the White World Union National Socialism. But besides that point, though, Commander Rockwell, he was the greatest white American in the post-war world. And we've all, you know, we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that man. And I think that one of the things, though, that is most pressing about the commander and that we need to discuss about is what he taught us and what lessons he's left for us behind, like, in these past couple of years. You see, there hasn't been a massive activist or white racial awakening up until recently in these past 6 years with the advent of the 2016 presidential election. And now you're starting to see more people. After the events of George Floyd, that now people are starting to awaken and become more and more frustrated and angry at the lack of action on the part of our system to, you know, quell these issues, as well as, you know, seeing the system for what it is, a hypocrisy, an utter Jewish controlled entity, which is, you know, subverting and thwarting the will of our people there. They're doing everything possible to make us a minority worldwide as they leave our borders wide open, while at the same time they're taking away our lands, particularly in Holland, where they're trying to evict white farmers from their lands to essentially make room for migrants. In America today, we feel like, you know, there is, you know, this sort of consistent pressure on us where if we reveal ourselves to be racist, to be prideful in our white race, we're going to be scrutinized and terrorized into essentially, you know, hiding back, you know, going back behind the scenes and hiding in the shadows in fear of being further doxxed. And that's something that I think with Commander Rockwell, he was essentially for. You see, the commander was a man who was out and out, you know, straight to the point, brutally honest. The man was a leader of men, and he told the truth exactly how it was, and he didn't trivialize or was afraid to hold anything back. He just told you what the facts were and as they are. He said he didn't hide what his beliefs are, and he was an out and out national socialist. That's what he was, and that's the kind of man he was from the time of his youth to his military career, and then his racial awakening in the 1950s. He decided that the only way we're going to truly win this fight, the security existence of our people, is to be out and out, true to true, honest, dedicated national socialists. It was the equivalency of mental sunshine, the words of wisdom from Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf, that he discovered that the only way we're truly going to, you know, defeat this Jewish conspiracy, which is destroying our world, destroying our culture, our civilization, and essentially our demographics worldwide, is through coming out with the truth and fighting. You see, today, what's going on now and what's happened then, a lot of the same thing has been ongoing here in the so-called white right, the right wing, that we have these figureheads in our cause who, for the most part, they have VC rooms, live streams, where they would talk, or they would talk about the various issues affecting us, but none of them would ever talk about being explicitly national socialist or advocating for people to going out there and fighting. They just talk about the same issues that are affecting us, but they would never bring up the ideas that the very word and mention action. They just want you to be felt like you're better off just saying it amongst ourselves, better yet whispering like the conservatives do. And we're stuck in this conservative mentality where we're afraid to actually speak out and talk about what's happening to us, and not only that, being afraid to fight back, while the enemy, the left, uses terrorism. They use actual physical force to use against you, to terrorize you and make you afraid to stand up against them. And we feel, and then we're like, you know, too polite to say, you know, hey, this isn't right and we're going to fight you back, in fact, hit you harder. We don't do that. But with the commander, he said he was sick of this stuff. He was sick of the high-handed, you know, high-handed tactic, you know, high-handed tactics and such, you know, the puny methods of just simply whispering amongst ourselves, complaining, and saying that, oh, you're helping the enemy out by opposing the enemy. And that was the main line that the John Birch Society used to its members, saying that, oh, if you oppose communism, that only communism is affected by opposing, if you oppose it. And in fact, if you mention race or are being racist yourselves, you're only helping the enemy. And that itself is a defeatist ideology. And this is similar to what QAnon and all these other right-wing groups and the people who follow, you know, Alex Jones and all these radio podcasts that people watch nowadays about, oh, it's the God Emperor coming back to save our people, that if we just forego race and we forego action, we're essentially castrating ourselves and dumbing ourselves down while our enemy is just gaining ground and we're being left right in the dust. And that is something that has to change if we're gonna survive this movement. But I will say that now there have been people who've actually listened and taken inspiration and understood really what the commander said, and the biggest part of this this topic here, and his legacy is that people know him really from the few books that he's written, his autobiography, This Time, the World, and White Power, and then the occasions he would go on demonstrations across the South, and the time he was straight up in the face, like neck and neck with Martin Luther King in Selma, Alabama back in 65. Like, those few moments. Anyway, that part of history is something that people would only remember the commander by, and then his march to Chicago. But that's not the thing that people should really just only remember the commander by. Rockwell left an entire written history, an entire legacy. In fact, he left out material references and guides and such in his books, his newspapers and magazines, such as the Rockwell Report, the Stormtrooper, and then later the White Power magazine, which he had started to write just about the time he was about to pass, when he was murdered back in late August of 1967. He had essentially also in his famous news pamphlet known as the The 26 Complete Lessons in Legal and Psychological Warfare. This was a pamphlet which he had made in order to describe the lessons he's learned and how any white patriot can apply to himself in order to prevent the Jews from entrapping you and to use the successful methods that he used against the enemy when he was fighting out and demonstrating and agitating in the street, to how he can whip the Jews right here in the streets of America and they can't hit him back. Essentially how to get yourself out of jail, or how you could throw out cases if you're hit with these cases when they try to, you know, arrest you for something, or, you know, trying to declare what you're doing is illegal when really it's not. It's legal, constitutional, you know, demonstrating and free speech. But he gave that list of lessons that we should be taking into account in our own activism going on today, because there are many of us today right now, individual activists, who are out there doing demonstrations, or they're putting up stickers or flyers or doing banner drops, which is a new popular thing which is going on with White Lives Matter or Patriot Front or NSC 131, New Jersey European Heritage Association, National Justice Party, and the list goes on. And I think that, you know, we should be taking into perspective how we as whites should be really, really be, you know, focusing on more than just simply doing stickers and banner drops and such, but also picking it, agitating against the enemy in the street, counter picketing, where Antifa, the leftist BLM demonstrations that go on, you know, periodically across America, we should be out there counter-demonstrating them and opposing them in the streets. We should be going there in force and counter-protesting their actions, and in so doing it, we're showing the enemy and other people, the whites who are viewing this, that we're not going to be sitting around tolerating this shit anymore, that we're going to be standing strong and opposing the enemy, just as Rockwell did in the 1960s against the civil rights marches. And that's something that hasn't been done in a long time now, because people were afraid of even demonstrating and counter-protesting these people because in fear of the system using force against them, or the enemy taking action against them, and people would fear being assaulted or being attacked by the enemy, and they'd get the ramifications of the law going down on them rather than the enemy. But if you were to read this book, this pamphlet, which you can get on Telegram or actually archives.com, the 26 legal methods of legal and psych warfare that Rockwell made back in 65, I believe, you can learn the methods of agitation and counter agitation and the law and such to use, you know, on your side so you can fight and protect yourself against this oppression and illegal high hand tactics that the enemy uses to thwart you. So you can actually use that and defeat them at their own game that they're playing. So yeah, moving on. Rockwell, he essentially talked about quite a few things, like quite a few ideas he had in mind for the party just before he was murdered. He actually planned on capitalizing on his success. You see, he had this massive march in Chicago, September 10th, 1966. That was known as the White People's Rally or the Great White March. And there's been videos of it, you know, going around Telegram, Odyssey.com, or WorldTruth.net or BitChute, where you can watch Rockwell's march, the history behind it, and the success behind it. See, he had about 10,000 or so white people in Chicago who followed him through, Garfield Boulevard to Loomis Avenue. Yeah, that's correct. It circled around the west side back to Cicero, where he went back to his camper. And during that time, whites were following him. He had such a tremendous amount of support from the white working class of the city that they all were coming out, holding up the banners and flyers he had, the symbol and slogan of white power as he made, his call to arms poster of the White Guard, which I'm going to describe in a little bit. You had kids as young as probably 8 or 9 years old following him in the street with their parents, marching side to side to the commander as these whites were moving through this black area. This area which had recently been a white community, but then the blacks took over due to the 64 and the great 1965 sorry 64 Civil Rights Act and previous integration efforts that had occurred, where the blacks were just taking over white communities as whites are moving out due to the growing number of blacks pouring into their area. And it was successful despite all the attacks that these guys faced from the blacks throwing acid at them. And then the cops came in at least, and, you know, they couldn't even stop Rockwell at that point as he was marching, because they were going to use all sorts of tactics and methods just to prevent him from marching. The communists, when they got wind of this in their Communist Daily Worker, which was their main newspaper at the time, they alongside the press were saying, stop this white racist march from occurring, but it happened anyway, regardless of all the pressure and such that they were, and the threats of arrest and violence they were going to use against them, the media and the communists included. The commander wasn't dissuaded from his efforts. So he did it, and he was successful, and he made it back to his camper. And then later he spoke at the famed Chicago Coliseum in the Eastern Shore, the shorefront of Chicago, and it was tremendous. It had a tremendous success, and the media blackout, which earlier on in the beginning of his efforts, the media had quarantined them. They did this thing where the Jews coined it as the quarantine method, where they block him out in the press. They didn't give him any negative publicity. Well, they tried their best to essentially prevent his message, prevent his image from getting out there to the people, prevent people from essentially knowing about the commander at all, hearing anything about him. But in the end, they actually realized that itself was not really what, you know, what they should have done. They actually should have just flooded all sorts of misinformation about him, which they did from time to time in order to make people turned off by him. But instead, when people actually saw him in the streets and actually got to know him, they liked him. Even people out in the streets who went out and started screaming at him, they ended up, you know, changing their attitudes and their perception of Rockwell in a sort of psychological term. In fact, he said that through mass conversion, as he said, whenever he went out there and actually counteract, when he actually said his piece and then the enemy was screaming and threatening violence at him and he started talking in the midst of all that hatred, these people were feeling inside themselves as they were staring at this man who called himself a Nazi. In all that, they started to change psychologically.
Now, with regard to the balanced political army, did Rockwell give any input on what he kind of envisaged?
Yes. Yes, he did. In various interviews and pamphlets which he had spoken about the balanced political army, his idea was essentially in the third phase, like he talked about four phases of his success plan of taking back America, was that in the third phase, he would organize the people who he mass converted to through his message, converted into NS supporters, to organize them as a political machine and a fighting force. He would essentially gather up those numbers, that new electorate which followed him, and train them and organize them at elections and at demonstrations. He, when I was talking about the White Guards, which this pamphlet which he distributed widely in Chicago to young white men, the idea was to create a more informal organization among the stormtroopers, where instead of, you know, the stormtrooper uniforms and all the formal training, it'd be more of an informal thing where she would rapidly be able to recruit angry young white males to his side and train them to defend their white communities and neighborhoods from black attacks and riots and such. He would then have these people, all these whites of these areas, especially the young white men, be members of the fighting force, and the community would be in surrounding and in support of him, similar to how the brown shirts, you know, in Germany were essentially made up of the men and women of the various German areas which Hitler had won over the 16 years up until 1934, when he essentially had, you know, ruled successfully and won back Germany. He would essentially just be building up his mass. Was right there at the time because where the racial problem was essentially more located, more fixated at, because this was where the battleground of against the whites and the blacks were, was the black takeovers of white neighborhoods in U.S. cities, as cities were shifting from being mostly white cities to then nearly minority white at that time, as blacks were gaining ground in white neighborhoods due to the Civil Rights Act being passed, which banned segregation and pushed enforced integration of white communities, which left whites in this position where they had to fight.
Okay, so the whole thing about Rockwell is that I think we got to go back to the beginning of Rockwell to just make some points here for the people who don't know. George Lincoln Rockwell, the founder of the American Nazi Party, and later killed by Jews. They don't tell you this, but I've spoken to people who were in the American Nazi Party. I did dig into this, and I did speak to people who knew him, to two different people who knew him and were there. And George Lincoln Rockwell was killed by Jewish assassins. That's a fact, though they don't tell you that. Okay, just to go back to the beginning of Rockwell. Rockwell is a American military pilot who...
A naval aviator.
Right, and he gets into politics. He sees the problems that are occurring in America. He sees communism, and he starts going through a couple of phases where he's initially a conservative, and then he's part of the John Birch Society. And then
he was in the conservative movement, but he wasn't a member of the John Birch Society. He did help William F. Buckley establish National Review, but he was really more associated with Mercury Time magazine, which if you look up was this old magazine which later was bought by our people and became an anti-Semitic magazine. But no, he wasn't part of the Birch Society, but he was an informal conservative at the time in the 50s.
Okay. But the point is that after he'd gone through his conservatism is that Rockwell at a point realized that the only people who've defeated communism were the Nazis and the fascists. And that's where he started looking to see how did they win, and that is where Rockwell began to see that, like, Hitler had the brown shirts, and they fought back against the communist, was it communist red shirts on the streets?
The communists, yeah. Well, not red shirts, but the civil rights demonstrators, the beatnik marches. That's who we really fought. But yeah, reds, essentially.
Yes,
the communists.
Basically the reds on the streets.
So
the other thing to understand about Rockwell is that Rockwell is a military officer, and he's actually fought in real war. He was in World War II. And he also fought in the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the unique things about Rockwell is that Rockwell looks at things and he looks at history and he comes at it from a military point of view, an actual real military background. And so Rockwell realizes that when Jews are busy with their communist revolutions, that ultimately, just like Hitler, who'd also been in the army, he'd been a soldier in World War I, Rockwell realizes that you've got to actually fight these people, and there's a method, there is some kind of method or tactics that have worked, that were developed by the Germans, that allowed people to, that allowed the Nazis to defeat the Jewish communists in Germany. And so Rockwell is looking at the methods that work, and he then starts realizing that this is not a war that you fight with machine guns on the streets, at least not initially, and that this is a kind of a political war that you've got to fight using other methods, and that just talking alone and writing alone isn't going to cut it, that you need to do other things. It's a much more subtle and strange kind of war that you've got to fight. So he started looking at things like legal and psychological warfare, and that balanced political, what was it? Balanced political army. That you've got to wage a war that's almost a war of the mind. Would you agree?
We agree.
So it's a war, but it's not a war with guns yet. Though it could at some point in the future get to guns and violence and killing, but it's a kind of warfare that has to be fought, that you would fight inside a democracy, because Jews have figured out ways of actually destroying a democracy and taking it over using a combination of tactics, including violence, bringing thugs out onto the streets to beat you up and shut you up. And that is where Hitler's brown shirts comes from. Hitler wasn't able to even give speeches and do talks, so he needed to basically form a bodyguard for himself just in order to do his politics. So, Robert, in terms of the tactics and things that Rockwell was putting out, in terms of legal and psychological warfare, is there anything you can summarize or point to?
Yes. So in the pamphlet, legal, political, and psychological warfare, he listed as like the various few legal point numbered points where he describes to you how you can conduct yourself as an activist, and what you must do to understand basic criminal law, and essentially the tactics and tool and tactics and methods and such they will use against you. That you should be aware of your rights and how to identify, you know, what it is that you know you're doing doing that's legal and such, you know, knowing your rights and such and be able to use your rights. Because one of the things is that these people, when you're out there demonstrating, one of the things they did back then was that what Rockwell was summarizing was that you would have like Jews who would come dressed up as police officers or even FBI agents trying to say or trying to question you or trying to arrest you. And during that, you'd have to take notes like, is this officer a legally certified police officer or agent? Like, you'd like have to notice his badge number, his proof of identification, just to know that if this guy is messing, you know, has the right to infringe on your liberty and interfere with your liberty in any way, you must know this guy is a member of the law. But also, what sort of things that they would use against you, like if they were to arrest you or throw you in jail, and how if you're left alone and not given any sort of support in any way, how you can use legal motions and such to throw out courts and throw out court cases and being able to get yourself back out on the street and back to fighting the Jew, and as well as taking advantage of the publicity that you can get from your demonstrating your actions and efforts, which will then lead to more and more notoriety and visual, you know, visual presence of it, more notice of it, and greater press coverage, getting more people aware of like who you are and what you stand for and your efforts. And yeah, so he essentially listed all the legal methods and tactics of how to protect yourself, get you out of jail, make yourself jury proof, how to detect the enemy pretending to be patriots and such, like how to expose them for what they are, and also foiling any sort of entrapments and framings that the system will use against you, as well as making sure you're not tailed, and how to protect your organization against any infiltration, by the way, as well as dealing with cross-examination and how to destroy a lying witness in court, which the Jews have done numerous times. In fact, like the Nuremberg trials or any of the post-war German trials, how to expose the lying Jew and prove that he's committing perjury in the court. And also defending you against any libel and criminal libel that the Jews would use against you in these sort of suits they would launch against you.
So the key is that even as you are trying to do your politics, the Jews are going to be using all kinds of dirty tricks against you. And the system is going to, and either the system or the Jews prodding the system are going to come and they're going to try to destroy you and damage you while you are trying to do your normal politics. In other words, it doesn't matter that you're just trying. At the end of the day, if we go right back to the beginning, all we're trying to do is we're trying to do normal politics. That's all we're trying to do. People on the white right or people who are national socialists and racialists are just trying to do what they're actually, what the constitution of your country says you can do. You can go, and there's nothing in your constitution, for example, in America, that says you can't stand up for white people. There is nothing that specifies in the constitution what your views should be or should not be. You are allowed to have free speech. You're allowed to have your own views. But the fact is that since Jews are around, Jews don't want whites to have their own viewpoints. That's really what it boils down to. And if whites want to defend themselves or want to have a racial viewpoint or a national socialist viewpoint, or heck, even a fascist viewpoint or some kind of right-wing viewpoint, Jews will come to somehow trip you up and stuff you up using the system or using dirty tricks in the system, or they'll infiltrate you, or they will try to pretend that you committed a crime, or they'll try to entrap you or get the cops to entrap you. So Rockwell is merely pointing out that you need to, that there are going to be all these dirty tricks that they're going to use against you in the same way that they use dirty tricks against Adolf Hitler. And you are not going to be allowed to just tell your side of the story. And Jews are even going to be coming along with their renter crowd and the people who they've lied to, who are worked up against you and hate you, even though they don't know anything about you. Have I summarized that correctly?
That's right. Also, another thing as well is also how you can fight against the enemy, in fact, how to use legal methods of heckling and actually stopping the enemy from having their treasonous meetings, their treasonous activities, how you can legally heckle and counter-protest their demonstrations, essentially, as well as how to also harass the illegal police harassers and such if they use surveillance and other sorts of illegal means in trying to bully you. That was another thing Rockwell mentioned as well in his pamphlet. But that does summarize it correct, Jan.
Okay, that's excellent. You see, so Rockwell is looking at firstly defending himself, but he's also looking at attacking the enemy. Because
right.
You know what this boils down to? You know where this is really going? Is thanks to Jews meddling in, let's call it, Western democracy, which has existed, let's say, since the French Revolution. Thanks to Jews meddling in politics in various white nations, especially the time that they worked to overthrow the Tsar in Russia, which was a big project for them that took them a long time. Jews have basically taken democracy and created methods of damaging the process of democracy, methods of driving whites against other whites and crushing them. They basically invented a form of warfare to take democracy, which really should just be a set of discussions, and they've actually created a form of warfare around that, which ultimately comes down to literally civil war inside a country. People might start killing each other. And the Jews have figured out ways of stirring up people, making people hate stuff, shutting down people that they don't like, etc. You know, in the end, what this really means is that when I look at this thing being extrapolated, where we're really going to is that democracy ultimately is going to be violent. That's what it boils down to. That in order for whites to defend themselves, it's going to be violent. Because look at what they've done with Antifa. Look at what they were doing in the time of Hitler and before Hitler. Democracy, true democracy where whites want to say what they want to say, is not allowed by Jews. Jews do not want whites to say what's really on their mind, regardless of which country they're in.
That's right, Jan. That's very much right. And the American Constitutional Republic has been thwarted and subverted by these Jews, and many of the hundreds of million of white, 200 million white men in this country, the white people of this country, they are denied the very right to say what's on their mind and speak out the truth as honestly as they can say it. They are thwarted by this media and this system that says, this narrative says, like, oh, you cannot be for who you are and say or express your disgust at how the system's high-handed manner and allowing this degeneracy, this race mixing, these migrants who are flooding our borders, and now the drag queen story hour events and the pedophilia that's being condoned and supported by the system, and the legal laws and such and the special privileges that they're giving to these sexual minorities and other racial minorities and such, which is just disadvantageous to our means. They're just throwing us out like we're not even part of the equation anymore, like our opinion doesn't matter. Like you said, in Canada, they're trying to make the Canadians, the white Canadians, no longer an entity, a relevant entity, like white people are just going to go extinct, and that's how we should view them as. But really, it's all reaching a boiling point, and I feel like that boiling point is at its fever pitch right now. and it's only a matter of time before it blows off, the kettle blows off, you know?
Yeah, you see, when I think back, I often think back to my discussions with my Jewish friends, and the thing that later hit me when I'd awoken and I sat back and I thought about discussions I had with Jews, I realized that the Jews are telling you what you will think. They are telling you what your viewpoint should be. And they are very firm on this, and they don't want us to go down the racial path. This is where Alex Linder has made some excellent points in the past, where Alex Linder has pointed out, for example, that Jews, when you argue with a Jew, when you discuss with a Jew, it is actually not a genuine discussion. They will keep coming back and they will keep fighting you on the same point over and over again. I experienced this myself when I was talking to my Jewish friend. Then my Jewish friend would come the one weekend and he'd come up with his liberal claptrap. And then I would very carefully and patiently take his argument and tear it to pieces and present the firm facts that disprove his Jewish liberal bullshit. And then a week later, he will talk to me again as if his argument was still intact. Whereas I'd torn it to shreds a week ago and I'd presented the definitive evidence that everything he said is claptrap and it has no value. And a week later, he's back and he's talking as if we didn't have that other discussion a week before.
Oh.
As if all the points he's making are still relevant, but they're not. And they act like they come back to you with the same stuff endlessly.
You know,
ignoring everything you've said and every point and every piece of evidence you've presented. And you know, Robert, they are carrying on like this. And I must tell you, I don't see any way out for white people anywhere in the world until whites start actually fighting back and literally, you got to literally shout them down. And earlier on when you spoke, you were talking about the fact that we're too polite. That's something I was thinking about the Germans, actually. I was thinking all whites are too polite.
Yeah.
some of you need to learn from some of us who are more foul-mouthed in Africa. You should learn to start telling other Jews and others, how about you shut the fuck up? You shut the fuck up. And let me have a chance to talk. You know, damn you. You're quite right that with Jews, talking itself becomes a form of warfare. These people are so insistent and they do not, I want to tell you, they are out to control how we think. And you know what? These bastards have been at it for hundreds of years. And the bottom line is we are too polite. We let them come and there's like an Afrikaans term in South Africa. There's some very sort of clear, overly clear Afrikaans terms. there's a term that goes something like hey kak op jou kop. Now to tell you what that means, it's basically the other person is sitting and shitting on your head.
Oh, man.
So, you know, some of these Afrikaans terms are so clear, but they're actually very close. There's a lot of truth to it. You know, hey, cock up your corp. Jews literally come and shit on your head. They are shoving, they are ramming their viewpoints into your mind and trying to make you and trying to change your mind in any conceivable way. They play the game dirty. And I cannot see how our politics anywhere in the Western world can continue without whites starting to fight back. You literally gotta shout back. And then later, you know, it's like you're saying, you got to get into the streets, meet them in the streets, and you're gonna have to fight them on the streets. In the same way that they bring their Antifa and black violent BLMs and Antifa out into the street, and they start burning things and breaking things. In Africa, they're not called BLM. They're called the ruling party, actually. And their
Or
people
EFF.
are busting things. You know, Jews have brought violence into democracy where white Western democracy never was violent. But
Well,
they've brought
you gotta admit
violence
though.
into it.
You gotta admit though, in the beginnings of Greek democracy, they did have brawls inside their parliament houses when they fought it out amongst themselves at the time when people disagreed on certain ideas. But yeah, violence is
But
something that is a part of it all, but we gotta be ready to fight back ourselves.
yes, but they didn't have the systematic, disingenuous Jewish methods that Jews
Right.
have brought in since communism.
That's
All
true.
of communism is a deliberate, disingenuous, disgusting method of winning a. It's basically taking over democracy, but using violent, dirty, disgusting methods, including murder, including beatings, including
Slander.
intimidation. I mean, Jews are successfully terrorizing whites, not only in America but across the world. But even in America, they've terrorized you into not stating your opinion because they're going to harm you. Whether it's they're gonna turn the media on you, or they're gonna dox you, or they basically try to destroy your life using all kinds of methods. I mean, guys in the movement right now in America, men and women, have faced doxing, have faced jail terms, have faced being hauled in front of courts. Jews don't want us to say what we want to say. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, and not only that, they use a lot of ridiculous, like really insincere, like vindictive, high-handed methods to really silence you and shut you up. They cut off your bank accounts. They own your banks and they own your credit card companies. They own all that, and they get them to close off on you once they discover that you are a dissident against their anti-white agenda. And then no one else is there to help you because people are so self-interested, and their only issue is supporting themselves, looking after their own necks instead of others. So white people are left in out in the cold at times when they're individually fighting against this enemy.
Well said, well said. You see, and so that they Jews have taken every aspect of modern Western civilization, and they've weaponized it. They've taken newspapers and the news and the media, and they've turned it into a propaganda organ that can destroy you, can destroy your life. They've taken banks, social media, the internet, and they've turned that into a weapon. And the law and legal stuff they've been using as a weapon for a long time, courts, dragging people into courts, using that as a legal weapon. I must tell you that Jews have basically weaponized everything The only thing that we're missing is that we're not yet shooting each other. That's the only thing. But everything else is being turned into a weapon already.
You're right, Jan, and I think that once we get to that point of, you know, shooting at each other, they would have to make things so unbearable. I mean, inflation and rising gas prices isn't even the, you know, the cork on the bottle just yet. It has to get really, really bad. Like, they're talking about how we could be on the verge of another Great Depression worse than what we had 90 years ago. And I think at that point where really you don't have, where most white people don't have 2 cents to rub against their fingers, and the blacks are just raising and looting and going wild, and if they're stealing our property, stealing our land, like what they're doing in Holland by stealing these farmers' lands, evicting them and giving it to the migrants, because most of Holland, as you may well know, is flooded. It's underwater. And they want to give all that little land left to give to the blacks and the Asians who are pouring in. Once we're at that point where they're just about to steal our land, you know, we will be at that point where we'll be ready to fight.
Absolutely. I think that white anger is the only hope there is. And that's why it's so important to get all these messages out. And, you know, on the one hand, we must red pill and wake up as many whites as we possibly can, and it is getting easier, but the next thing is like with Rockwell, to start telling whites, listen, all this weird shit that's going on that is scaring you, all these weirdos, BLM, Antifa, all this weird transgender, pedophile, weirdo crap that's going on, that you know, just hold on, there's a way to fight back, and we gotta look at the tactics of Hitler, and we gotta look at the tactics of Rockwell. Rockwell was trying to take it to the next level for the Western world.
Yeah, that's right. And white anger, that's, you know, last year.
That's coming. That's coming. I can tell you when I look at the world in the last 3 years, Robert, I'm telling you that, you know, compared to the time of the Fash Bash, where we were versus now, the world has changed a lot, and we are definitely heading down. We are definitely on a path that is no longer the same path before. I've told people in my videos multiple times that liberalism ended in December 2019. We're in a whole new world, and this world's creepy, and it's weird, starting with COVID and all the other things that have come, Ukraine war, etc. I must tell you, I think, yes, George Floyd, those riots, absolutely. I think we're on a path to a whole new world, and we must just try and wake up our people as fast as possible and tell them to start looking at these things, because whites are going to have to start defending themselves, and whites are going to have to fight political and cultural battles to retain our civilization. Because Jews are telling us what our civilization is. Jews are telling us that the civilization is non-white. Jews are telling us that it's got to accept transgender, pedophilia, diversity, all kinds of other stuff. I mean, there's even that guy in America, Sam Brinton, who's into bestiality, man. Jews are shoving the most bizarre, creepy garbage down white's throats. It's horrific, and this transgender is just huge bunch of crap.
In the last 10 years alone, they pushed this stuff where 20 years ago this stuff was not accepted widely. There wasn't any, even gay marriage, a lot of people were against that. And then starting in the 2010s, with Obama, he legalized gay marriage. You had all the Jew banks and corporations and Jewish groups, they're all promoting this. And then transgender bathrooms, promoting femboyism, like just this idea of destroying our own concept of gender, that gender isn't biological, it's psychological. That argument has been literally been broken down multiple times by most people, yet they keep pushing it. And then now with this drag queen story hour, you know, controversy, which is, you know, spread all across America, where they have these drag queen story hour events at libraries or restaurants or schools and such, and many people, they just, you see a lot of these people who go to them, and you think to yourself, why is this allowed? Why is this tolerated? In fact, it took one group, NSC 131, who actually went back on August 7th, and previous week, they demonstrated against that drag queen story hour event out in the Jamaica Plains and out in Boston. And by doing so, the officials of that drag queen story hour event had to cancel their entire tour, their drag queen story hour event, because of the increasing harassment by neo-Nazis. It took a show of force. Excellent. By 50 or so white men, it masked up and marching outside, holding up a banner opposing this to make them want to quit while they were ahead.
You are not going to be able to defeat the Jews and their liberals and communists. You're not going to be able to defeat them just by having a nice, gentle argument, discussion or debate. You're not going to do that. You're going to have to shut them down, shove them around, because if you don't do it, they are doing it to us. They are using violence against us and stuff like that. And I mean that drag queen story hour, all that they're doing is that they're literally grooming they're grooming the children.
That's right,
for
yeah.
Pedophilia and stuff. They're grooming the little kids, but they are so cunning with their wording. Oh, you see, we're just helping them, and
it's family friendly. Yep.
Meanwhile, pedophiles are busy in there and all that. And ultimately, I can't see white people everywhere need to realize that all white politics had better become, let's call it, defensively violent. Or else whites are going to lose. You're going to lose. They will shove you. They'll get the blacks and the others to come and beat you and kick you and burn. I mean, how much damage did those George Floyd riots and things do?
Billions of dollars. It was like billions of dollars. $6 billion, in fact. Yep, $6 billion, I think the number was, of the amount of damages
six
that
billion
they did.
Dollars.
Right at that sixth number, they
you know
they
there's violence right.
Sorry, Jan.
That you see, it's like South Africa. It's like here in Africa, where the blacks came up, the Jews and the communists taught the blacks violence. They brought violence into normal life and into politics. And I cannot see how we're gonna survive if we don't meet fire with fire. It's that simple. Whites are going to have to get harder and tougher. But I think, you know, the best thing to do is educate people. I think the best thing is to educate people. And maybe you must send me the link again to those pamphlets of Rockwell. I need to also give them out. I must give
certainly,
them out, definitely.
Certainly, if you you check Telegram, the Telegram, I shared it to you via Telegram, but I can send it to you via Skype right now. But definitely, though, Jan, absolutely. And excuse me. Yeah, the system's permissiveness with this growing pedophilia, it was unheard of 30 to 20 years ago, but now this is another thing which is bringing perhaps its downfall, is its growing permissiveness, because now we have a method, we have an actual target which we can focus our energies on, while not only just talking about what they're doing to our race and such, but it is the top, but instead we can focus about how they're destroying our morality. They're destroying what's left of our morality by saying that this is okay, that kids have to be groomed, that we should accept this. But most Americans, and most white people in general, don't agree with this. I certainly don't. I certainly don't. Neither does any other race, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're quite right. Jews are forcing whites to do what no other race is forced to do.
In fact, just the other day, the president of Uganda said homosexuality is the most disgusting thing ever. You have these black nations in Africa even saying that they oppose it extremely, that they hate it. Yet here in America, it's like, or in Europe, they push, oh, it's okay to be gay, like in Western Europe and in the Western world. But then the Eastern European countries, who still have their pride, the Polish, as a matter of fact, they say, all this is just tactics by the Jews used to break us down and destroy our Christian faith. In fact, I think that was one Polish minister actually said that.
Yeah. Jews are nation wreckers, and they are doing things to gain power. That's all this is about. And they're doing it in their weird, creepy Jewish ways, which they have refined over hundreds of years. This is the result of hundreds of years of toying with whites, manipulating whites, damaging and destroying whites. And now we are right there. These Jews are in everybody's face, and they are doing things to harm our nations and break us. Because for them, you know, Robert, I'm quite convinced that the place they want to take us is the place they took the Spanish to when they got the Muslims to conquer the whites of Spain, and then they ruled Spain. The Jews and the Muslims ruled the whites for 700 years. I think that's what they're trying to do everywhere. And they're creating the same conditions, in the same way that they paid the Muslim general to conquer Spain, and later they tried to conquer France too, but Charles the Hammer stopped them. They are trying to create, with Antifa and BLM, they are basically creating the armies that they are, let's call it their political armies, to intimidate and scare and push the whites back in America and Europe.
That's right. That is some concept there.
But it's exactly what they were doing in Africa when they taught blacks to be violent against whites, and to, you know, the Jews have got formulas that they've learned and refined in the many, many, many Western countries that they've destroyed and damaged. And we're seeing the real problem, Robert, is too much tolerance on the part of whites, actually. That's the problem of whites are too tolerant.
We damn well are. In fact, Rockwell even said that we've gotten to a point where we will tolerate anything. There's no limit to what we will tolerate. And he said that, you know, it comes to a point of matter where we got to draw the line at something, and we say this is wrong and immoral. We must put a stop to it. No one will do it because law and order is gone. Law and order is being consciously eroded and destroyed in this country by the Jews. They've taken over our legal system. They've thwarted our constitutional guarantees, our rights to freedom of speech, and to protest what they're doing and fight them legally, and all sorts of things to try to discourage us from even using our guaranteed rights to fight them. This is what's happening, Jan, and honestly, we have to realize that we can't tolerate and accept this anymore. For those who still think that this is something that you can be polite about and actually win by voting Trump back in the 2024 election or the upcoming midterm elections, that is just a fallacy. It's an illusion. People had this idea that when we were going to get them back elected in 2020, things will be fine and we'll keep these people out of office. No, it's not. They thwarted and cheated you out of your own election. They stole an election from you. These people are going to break the law, and you got to be prepared to realize that you can stay within the law, of course, but you gotta challenge them on that fact. You can't let them get away with that. You must fight back, and you must not tolerate their antics and shenanigans anymore, any longer.
Dead on, dead on. You know, I mean, the 2020 election, there is the raw proof in your face that even in America, a presidential election can be totally and utterly rigged.
Absolutely.
And here in South Africa, here in South Africa, Robert, I'll tell you, there are whites here who are liberals and or whites who've started awakening a little bit to politics, and they now believe that in 2024, that a coalition of white liberals and blacks are going to defeat the black communists here.
Oh my God.
And I've already told them, you ain't seen nothing yet, man. You people are asleep. Just less than 10 years ago, they had already tried a big coalition like that. And when the black commies saw it coming, they saw this new political party coming, and they said that the blacks said the new political party will be stillborn. And the blacks went and they tore up the meetings of that political party. They
Referring to the
wiped them
cake.
out. They wiped them out. It's called it was called COPE, and they wiped them out. And they think the blacks are gonna wake up and vote liberal, and that's gonna be the end of it. They don't understand that the black communists will come and they'll kick and beat the blacks and tell them, you vote for a liberal, you're voting for a white, you're voting for the enemy, and they'll kick and beat them and tell them, you better vote for us or we'll come and bust your balls. And you watch South Africa 2024. Watch South Africa 2024. The liberals are already predicting, the white liberals are predicting that the ruling party is going to fall in 2024. Ha 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 ha. They said that the ruling party was going to fall in 2019, and it didn't happen. I've watched these things, and all whites are going to see that every time we lose, and we never win by playing by the rules. We're going to have to roll up our sleeves, get in the streets, and we're going to have to prepare for all kinds of nasty things.
One more
So
thing. One more thing, John.
I think, yes, final thing for us to wind up.
Yes, one more thing I would say. You know, 20 years ago, the same thing happened in Zimbabwe, where, like you mentioned before, that white farmers, the farmers who stayed in Zimbabwe, who made money from agricultural, despite all the communist bullshit and idiocracy, the regulations they used against them, and all this sharing the land with the blacks deal, that they tried to come up with the same thing, where they would use white money with black votes and black faces to get rid of Mugabe and the communists in Zimbabwe. And Mugabe, sensing this, he essentially just decided to knock out all the farmers who opposed them and felt like they were dangerous and they posed a danger to his rule. And then that's how the land appropriation thing began, not simply because blacks wanted the land and needed it, but Mugabe getting rid of his political opponents, namely the whites. And that what they're doing now in South Africa is just exactly the same thing. And they don't realize that the communists don't play fair. They won't let you win. You got to win by taking action and using force against them and destroying the communists, not trying to win an election against them. They'll steal elections and prove you wrong.
Yes.
It's right with in America. People think that we live in a free liberal democracy. No, we aren't. We're living in a communist system. The people ruling us now, they're not Americans, they're not Democrats, they are communists. Communists.
Yes.
The Democrats and Republicans equal. They're all communists.
Well, Robert, I think that was an excellent summary there, and you're dead right about what happened in Zimbabwe. That they saw how this opposition was working, and they saw, look, the whites are behind this. We just need to destroy them, destroy their money, and then this whole thing is going to collapse. And that's exactly what they did. And then any blacks who were still continuing to try, they either got killed or beaten, and eventually they smashed everybody. And I think the final thing that I'll say is, from an African point of view, the blacks have said that there's one mistake the whites have made that they will not make. And you know what that is? They've said that the whites gave up power. They will never give up power. And if you look at the blacks, the Jews, the communists, all of them, they have no intention of losing in an election. Or, oh, okay, we've lost. You can now rule. No, 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 you don't understand. They have no intention of giving up power at all, either in America or South Africa or anywhere in the Western world. This thing, every inch that they've moved forward, they are going to fight tooth and nail by every dirty trick, and they'll invent even new, dirtier tricks. That's what lies ahead for us all.
One last thing to add, though. I think Rockwell, if he was alive right now, looking at us now, you know, one of the things that he really stated was is that we cannot win alone with just apathy. Like, what we're doing now and what he did back then, he won a lot of the secret apathy and admiration of all the people who've seen him and seen his activities all throughout the years and heard him talk and such. He won the support of the masses of white people. Not everyone, but most, where he was calling out the very things that they were feeling instinctively, which was wrong. The integration, the forced race mixing, the communist subversion, and all the cultural Marxist ideas that they were pushing upon whites, and whites were really inherently against deep down inside. But alone, though, these people were afraid to really come out openly for him. But instead, they would be like, oh, he won. They would then all join him all together at once. They had to wait till the enemy somehow defeated. But sympathy and apathy alone isn't the way we're going to win. The only way we're going to win is if people actually come together and smash the enemy. If we use more action, the small number of us right now who are organized, we got to go out there and smash the enemy. Going out there in the streets, hitting the streets, and breaking the Jew press barrier. And by doing so, with the not all it doesn't take much money, doesn't take much efforts at all. All it takes is just going out there in the streets and exposing them and using force. That alone will give you billions of dollars of public publicity. Hundreds of millions of people will hear you worldwide and see your message. And by doing so, you're smashing the enemy in the street and you're forcing them to expose themselves for what they are. The vile anti-white bastards who have no sense of compassion or brotherhood or tolerance, even for the people whom they purport themselves to be representing, the non-whites. They act like they're the friends of the blacks and the Hispanics and the Asians. They're not. They look down upon them and have racial terms they use against them, like Schwarzes and Beaners and such. They have, you know, very, very, you know, disgusting and scurrilous things to say about them, yet that's not told to you because they own the media. But through our publicity, it gives the shock value and it forces the enemy to expose himself and his bias.
Well said. Action is the way forward. So thanks very much for this, Robert, because George Lincoln Rockwell was all about action, and we may well come back to this and related topics in the future.
Thank you, Jan. Much appreciated.
And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites, you know you don't.